You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, join the official fan club of the Cleveland Browns, the Browns backers. Join now and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, Browns backer watch parties, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm talking about the big name free wide receivers who could be free agents, could be available via trade, like a Brandon Marshall, Andre Johnson, Dwayne Bowe, Jeremy Maclin, Michael Crabtree. Who interests you? Right now, it's a runaway in favor of Brandon Marshall. Now, Jeremy Maclin, I would say, is probably the best overall prospect, but I think he'll ultimately command the most money in a long-term deal. When you look at Marshall right now and you look at his cap number, he's going to be due 7.5 guaranteed this year. That's in 2015. He's due 7.9 and then 8.3. So really not crazy numbers for him. His cap number would be around 9.5 to 10 because of bonuses, prorated, and then, of course, workout bonuses. Not that crazy. Maclin, I think, could command that much on the open market. By far and away, he is the best, you know, option for you. And if you had a Maclin, I don't know, you probably would still draft one, but I don't think you'd need to go first round with one because he could be your guy for a long, long time.
Oh, he definitely could. You know, and like I said, if we go get Maclin, I would love to go get DeVante Parker, Kevin White, that big physical receiver on the other side. And also, too, what we have in our back pocket is Josh Gordon, the big physical receiver as well.
Sir, and to update you, Adam Kaplan reporting that both sides want to get a deal done in Philadelphia with Maclin and Philly, but they do remain apart on the number. And as you know, when you remain apart on the number, at some point, deadlines come and go, and you end up a free agent. So Jeremy Maclin, no deal done yet there. Running backs, have they been devalued? We'll certainly talk about that. Let's get into now, as we talked about, Mel Kiper has released his latest mock draft for the Cleveland Browns. Mel Kiper, again, releasing his latest mock draft today at 9 a.m. It's a point of contention among some. Gibbs, actually, before we get to that, since you're so contentious about it, let's ask you this. Which of those receivers would be on the top of your list?
I think I go Maclin number two, and I think, number one, it's Brandon Marshall. I think it's got to be.
Yeah,
I like a guy that has a little bit of an attitude, that wants the football all the time, that wants to make plays, and when the ball's in his hands, usually 8 or 9 times out of 10, he's usually making those plays.
Yeah, you can't hate it.
I mean, the biggest question is, if you're a Browns fan, do you need that kind of drama in the locker room?
I think you're just looking for that kind of production.
Well, the one thing
but there's baggage.
The baggage I think exists because it happened in his third or fourth year in Chicago once he became comfortable. I think any free agent that comes here has to, walk that fine line, get introduced to see who runs the roost in that locker room, who reigns supreme over that locker room, what type of culture has Mike Pettine created here. And that free agent, in this case Brandon Marshall, has to abide by those rules and, at least for his first year. And then, get comfortable, and then you'll see his true personality coming out, by the end of the season and also, next football season. So every free agent wants to come in. Like we saw, Carlos Dansby came in, talking all the right stuff, backed it up with his play. A free agent that, gets paid by a team doesn't come in talking nonsense and then go out on the football field and either play well or play bad because they're going to be cut very, very quickly.
They'll be cut very, very quickly and unceremoniously. All right. So I agree. It seems a lot of people think about Marshall. What do you think it would take to get a guy like Marshall at this point? Could you move a fourth?
It took 2/3 to get him to Chicago from Denver.
So that's more of his prime.
And what I exactly. And what I read was that it would be less than that.
So if you're the Browns, you have an extra fourth this year. Could you maybe send your extra fourth this year? And then looking at the way free agency might shape up for you in terms of compensatory picks, there's probably a good chance you're going to have an extra fourth again next year.
So, and why not throw in a pick next year based on performance?
You could. I wonder if 2/4, a fourth this year and a fourth next year would do it.
I think it would be great. Or a fourth and a sixth.
Or take the fourth and sixth. You have fourth and extra six, so you go down to 8 picks this year, but you got Brandon Marshall. It gives you more flexibility in the first round or early in the draft. You probably still could draft a receiver. It's deep, but that ties into Mel Kiper's mock draft, I think. If you get a receiver like a Brandon Marshall, you don't have to go ahead and get a guy in the first round. I don't think that, clearly you don't have to. So the question becomes, would you do what Mel Kiper has you do? And Mel Kiper in his mock draft released today. Gibbs, have you confirmed that?
It was released on Tuesday.
It was not.
It was.
He tweeted it at 9 o'clock this morning and said, my new mock draft is just posted.
I'm telling you right now, it posted on Tuesday.
All right. If you, that's what you say, Gibbs.
I went high up to get that answer.
All right.
Tuesday, every other Tuesday is Kuiper. Every other Thursday is Todd.
Maybe he bartered for Thursdays. I'm just going right off of Mel Kiper's, his own Twitter. This is right from his own Twitter. And he said he released it today, and he went on SportsCenter today to talk about his brand new mock draft. So nonetheless, whatever day it was.
I'm still working on it. But
I know
I'm
you're talking schedules. I'm talking reality. I even emailed you his tweet.
No, I know. And I'm telling you what I've been told from high up. And it goes pretty high up.
How high does it go?
How high?
There's a shot it goes all the way up to the guy that posted the tweet this morning.
Mel Kiper himself.
Yes.
Well, he may have completed it on Tuesday, but he didn't tweet about it until today.
It's what it appears right now. I'm waiting to hear back.
Okay. All right. So anyway, in his draft that was made public to all of us, may have been completed on Tuesday. I don't know. But it's been made public to the world today at 9 a.m. At number 12, with Devontae Parker still on the board, he has the Browns taking Danny Shelton, who we once long ago heard linked to the Cleveland Browns, 340-pounder out of the University of Washington, can be that nose tackle in the 3-4, eat up space, eat up interior defensive linemen, free the linebackers to make plays. Matt Wilhelm likes that pick as a former linebacker because it frees him up. Then at number 19, he has them coming back with Ereck Flowers. And he even says, I can see Browns fans cringing at the thought of a first-round pick with two picks, a first-round with two picks that doesn't involve a wide receiver. But let's remember, this draft is packed with pass-catching talent, and if the board breaks this way, I think the Browns could target a potential high-impact offensive lineman rather than taking a fifth receiver. I only like this if they feel like they've got nothing in Michael Bowie. If you feel like you got something in Michael Bowie, who started 8 games in the NFL and played well, you don't need to draft a tackle in the first round.
I agree, and I think also, too, is I only like this if we address that wide receiver position in free agency. And maybe essentially, you know, bring one of those names that we've been talking about. Yeah, you make a splash, you let those top three wide receivers pass, and then again, as you said, in the second round, you might be able to grab that, you know, that Jalen Strong, Smith from Ohio State, you know, some of those guys. It'll be tough. It'll be interesting to see. We have to make a splash because we'll be able to protect our passer, but we won't have any assets to throw it to.
See, I don't know. Looking at all the mock drafts, I do an article every Thursday for ESPNCleveland.com, and it's all the highlighted mock drafts. We get every mock draft, and we post them all together in one article every week. And I just get the impression Danny Shelton is not going to be there at number 12.
I agree. No mock draft that I have seen in the last 3 weeks has had Danny Shelton getting to 12.
Yeah, and I like the guy I like, if you're going to draft an offensive lineman in the first, I like Collins out of LSU. I think he is a road grader. I think Flowers is more of a project. It might take a little more time for him to develop. If I'm drafting a guy in the first round with two picks in the first round this year, you got to have two guys that are starting on opening day.
And also, too, with last year's you know, swing and a miss in the first round, the Cleveland Browns fans want sure things at 12 and 19.
I'm going to tell you what, if I'm going, first of all, yes, there are no sure things, but yes,
as close to as you can.
If I'm the Browns and I do want to go offensive line, I'm going to trade back from that 19 spot a little bit into the early to mid 20s, pick up another asset, and I'd take Cameron Irving out of Florida State.
I like him.
Cameron Irving has played tackle, he's played guard, and he's played center. And if you saw last year, the biggest hole right now in terms of depth on this line is behind Alex Mack. So if you brought a guy in who could maybe come in and play right guard for you right away, but be the guy that had to swing into center if you needed to be, you know, and be the backup to Alex Mack, to me, that would be very, very, very appealing. And
I don't hate that, but it's a hard sell, man.
Well, that 19 to 23.
Not if he can start for you at guard. If True. He start comes in and starts at guard, then it's not that hard of a sell.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and that 19 to 23, 24 slot is where you see a lot of first-round trades every year. That's where teams move up because that's where they feel if there's someone that slides four or five picks from that early 10 to 12 range, if they're still around come 17 or 18, that's where you start seeing trades getting made. And I think the Browns are sitting well with that 19 pick. And, you know, I'd be okay if they move down a little bit and we're still able to get a guy like Irving.
To me, that's where I would go because if you've got Bowie to be that tackle, that's almost like a draft pick at tackle. Now, again, it would say something if they didn't know, you know, if they felt not good about him, that would say something to me. But otherwise, I would rather, if you're going offensive line and you've got Bowie to be that backup tackle, the guy that you need is a guy like Cameron Irving in my mind.
See, I also like TJ Clemens from Pitt.
He's a little bit of a project too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, if you're moving down, Kuiper's got Clemens going to the Colts at 29. And I think if you could move down a little bit, you'd be in, you know, he might be on the board as well.
I'm just going to go back. I want a receiver, even if we get a receiver.
Well, yeah.
I want a receiver, and then I want Malcolm Brown.
I think we're all on Malcolm the same
Brown.
Page,
I like though. Malcolm Brown, too.
We are all on receiver.
I don't know. A non-impactful first-round pick, either at 12 or 19, is going to have Cleveland Browns fans and the dog pound barking, you know, in the parking lots here in Berea.
And by the way, right now Mel Kiper has Irving going to the Broncos at 28. Says from the center or guard, he's particularly good at winning at the initial block and getting the second level, which if with the Browns continuing to run zone, as John DeFilippo said, that's what a guard's got to do.
Yeah.
Get that first block and get to the second level. So he could be somebody that could fill in there. And also it's a little bit of an insurance policy. Alex Mack's deal, when you break it down, was really a two-year deal.
Sure.
So it's a little bit of an insurance policy for you at that point as well going forward for the Browns.
Maybe that's
somebody that I would look at the offensive line.
Look, if you're not going to take a wide receiver, you got to take linemen. You got to take D-line. You got to go O-line.
You could go D-line and pass rusher, though.
Yeah, I like the linebacker out of Kentucky.
Bud Dupree?
I do.
I'm pretty sure – is Bud Dupree – go? How early did he go in, let's see, where he went in the most recent mock draft? See, he's got – Malcolm Brown keeps going 17 to the Chargers. I'm starting to see that quite a bit. Bud Dupree is a guy who has climbed up some boards, has fallen on others.
I've seen Pete Prisco had him
top 10. Pete
Prisco
had him in the top
10.
Yep. Pete Prisco also had the Browns going receiver, which
I'm in love with.
You could get a lottery ticket.
Oh, my God.
You have as good a shot of that happening. So I don't think – does Kuiper not have Bud Dupree in the first round?
I don't know if he does. I'm looking right now. I don't see it.
I don't see him in the first round. So Bud Dupree would be a guy that, you know, people like out of Kentucky.
Oh, that could be a guy, again, if you're at 19 and you're moving back to later in the first round.
And also, you know, our guy Joker Phillips, the wide receiver coach of the Browns, was at Kentucky. He would probably have some decent insight on what he saw from him. When we come back, Vic Carucci will be with us, the Notorious VIC, to check in with things from Baltimore. Andrew Hawkins, by the way, has just posted, and I just retweeted it, the second part of his article, Whatever It Takes, part two of my journey to the National Football League. Part one yesterday was unbelievable. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it,
Matt.
Not
yet.
It is really, really impressive about what he did, creating a fake email account as a coach saying, hey, you need to check this guy out. We're getting his tryouts. All the things that he did to pursue his dream. And now part two, he's just posted how he finally won his first contract. You can get that on @Hawk on Twitter. Just a great, great story written by him. A phenomenal job and definitely worth going out of your way to check out. Homecoming for the Notorious VIC, Vic Carucci, talking the Bills, wheeling and dealing. When we come back here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Got a gang of cash and it's going on.